Good morning again to you all. It is always a delight for me to be able to worship with you. Not that often as I wish, but I always enjoy great worship team. Great job, well done. And this morning is our 21st anniversary of the church. I also want to take this opportunity to send greetings to you from the other two congregations. Westwood is a multicultural church. That is, we are not three churches under one roof. We are one church. One church with multi-layers of cultures and different worshiping congregations. We have people from all walks of life and different ethnic backgrounds. Even the Chinese. Every Sunday when you come to church, you see a lot of Chinese, right? But we are so culturally diverse. To many Canadians, it really takes a while for them to realize that actually Cantonese-speaking Chinese and Mandarin-speaking Chinese, they are actually from two different cultures. And a lot of time, they don't communicate well with each other. And sometimes they don't even communicate with each other. So among themselves. But having said that, we do have a Cantonese congregation, we do have a Mandarin congregation. As Westwood people, we believe that the gospel is transcultural. It is my belief that God's people should focus on the things that we share rather than the things that we don't share. It is my belief that Westwood, as a multicultural church, is built on biblical realities that bind us together rather than the human realities that separate us from one another. It is my prayer that together we weave these Westwood experience as a foretaste of the heavenly reality as described in John's revelation, that every nation, every tribe, language, and people come together to worship the one who is sitting on the throne. Amen? This is our prayer, to build this a church with different ethnic backgrounds, different cultures. Well, as you know, today is our 21st anniversary Sunday. Unlike last year, you remember last year, we went to a Bollywood dance or something like that. We didn't dance, we ate there. It was 20th anniversary, a big anniversary. But this year, we intentionally toned it down this time. We recently, just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated the new expansion dedication and also the ordination. And it really took a lot of people's time and work and to make that happen. So we didn't plan for another big event this year for our anniversary. The only celebration we're going to have is tonight's joint congregational Singspiration. It's in the announcement, it's in your bulletin, so welcome to join us tonight if you can. Now I want to shift our attention to today's message. My title today is A Church That Practices Hospitality. The passage I'm going to read, we're going to read together, it's from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. Now, this is our anniversary, 21st, beautiful. We also broadcast it outside on the foyer's TV. Now, our topic is about hospitality. When the apostle writes to the church in Romans, he says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Romans 12:10, continue. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Verse 13, share with the Lord's people who are in need. practice hospitality. Practice hospitality. Now, many of you know the Apostle Paul. From chapter 1 to 11, the Apostle teaches the idea of justification by grace through faith. What a wonderful theology. Now, after chapter 11, when he comes to chapter 12, after these people receive this amazing grace, what's next? Just by faith, they receive this amazing grace. So when he comes to chapter 12, he tells the church, don't stop there. Don't keep this grace just in your head, but let it permeate into every aspect of your lives. Especially, he mentions, extend grace to people around us. The grace-receiving people. Continue to extend and express grace to those who are around us. The teaching is simple. Share what you have to those who are in need. Practice hospitality. What is hospitality? Nowadays, when people talk about hospitality, they usually think of like hotels. Tourism, right? The industry that generates revenue by welcoming and entertaining foreign visitors. But the word hospitality in its original language, the Greek language, is philoxenia, which literally means love of stranger, love to the strangers, warmth shown to strangers. The etymology of the word philoxenia is interesting because philos is friend. And then xenos, it's strangers. So you put a friend with a stranger. So this is exactly the meaning of the word. Now in the Bible, the hospitality is basically extending the quality of kindness to needy strangers that you usually reserve for your friends, your inner circle, and your family. Now think about this. We tend to think of hospitality as having a friend or family over, people whom you know and get along with. But in the Bible, and for most of church history, hospitality has been about welcoming strangers, welcoming needy people whom you do not know, receiving and nourishing sojourners. The word practice, in this verse, when you translate like NIV say practice, is the force is not quite there. The original Greek word literally means to pursue, to go after, like hunting, go after. In other words, hospitality is to be an active, ongoing, and conscious thing. Our hospitality is not meant to be limited to our friends, limited to our family. And it's not limited to Thanksgiving or birthday parties or Christmas time only. No. Hospitality is a practice and an attitude we should have and embrace all the time to all people, especially the strangers and people who are in need. Now, it is interesting to see that when Job was protesting against his sickness, one of the virtues that he said he never neglected was hospitality. So in Job 31, 32, he says, no stranger had to spend the night in the street, for my door was always open to the traveler. And that's not surprising because the Lord himself said that the, that Job was an upright man who feared God and turned away from evil. So he was a righteous man, and one of the qualifications of being a righteous man is the door was always open to the traveler. As far back as you want to go in the history of God's people, this is one of the God-appointed qualifications of the righteous: hospitality, meaning a spirit of generosity to welcome people in their midst who don't ordinarily belong there. Now, why hospitality? Why? It is because it is a grateful response to God's generosity. To understand why this is so important, we need to go back to the Old Testament. You remember when the Jewish people, they first moved into the land that we now call Israel today, it was about 1,500 years, 1,500 years before Christ. When they moved into the land, God insisted that they see themselves as immigrants. Leviticus 25, 23 says, "The land must not be sold permanently, because the land is the Lord's, is mine. And you reside in my land as what? As foreigners, as strangers." God owned the land. These people were to see themselves as immigrants or sojourners, something akin to the modern-day migrants or migrant people, migrant workers. Now, you see, the Jews were not that impressive as a country for a long, long time. They were small. They were landless. They were basically, they had a time to be slaves to the Egyptian. But God always took care of them. So their own experience was of being needy and dependent on God when they were a baby country. God protected them, provided for them. He was generous with them. So when a Jew comes across somebody who is in need, who is vulnerable, who is a stranger, he is supposed to remember his own roots. He's supposed to remember where he came from. He is supposed to remember that he owes his existence to the generosity and kindness of God. A key verse here is in Leviticus 19:34. The Lord commands, "The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So you see, hospitality was at the heart of Israel's identity. Because God was gracious and generous to Israel when Israel was needy and vulnerable, a group of wandering, homeless, needy people. Because God was generous toward Israel when Israel did not deserve it and couldn't earn God's generosity. While Israel was supposed to treat others with that same hospitality, that same kindness, that same generosity. And that's our heritage. As Christians, we are the children of Abraham. As New Testament believers, we share the same generous and hospitable God as the Jewish people. We also find different places in the New Testament that commands us, that requires us to show hospitality to strangers. Hebrews 13:2, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." You probably realize the background of this verse coming from Hebrews was what happened in Genesis when Abraham received strangers. Do not forget to show hospitality. 1 Peter 4, 8 to 9. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. For many of us in this room, we've seen our sins very clearly. And we know how dark and rebellious and selfish our hearts have been. And yet, Jesus, God in the flesh, came to visit us in our sin-bound prison and physically opened his heart to us. He welcomed us. And God is so gracious and generous and kind toward each and every one of us. As people who have been treated with ultimate kindness, we are open our hearts, our lives, our homes to other needy people out of outflowing gratitude to God. God welcomes us, so we welcome others. That's one reason for hospitality. Why hospitality? Because it's a tangible expression of our love to Jesus. The second reason was in our gospel passage recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 25. In this teaching, Jesus gives us that the teaching that Jesus gives is astonishing. It's amazing. Those who welcome strangers and met their needs in some mystical way, very real way, they have welcomed Jesus himself. So in Matthew 25, the story goes, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king answers, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." Hospitality to humans is personally connected to care for Jesus. The fact that Jesus personally and powerfully experiences our response to the needy challenges us to offer the most gracious welcome possible. And more than that, we realize that the needy stranger in front of us is actually Christ in disguise. We serve them as a host. We see them as a guest. Because when we feed and give our full attention to the needy stranger, we are literally loving the Jesus to whom we sing all of these wonderful songs to. We are loving that Jesus, the real Jesus, in a very tangible way. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. By doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. It's natural for people to show hospitality to their friends, to their families, to their neighbors. Basically, people that are easy and fun to be with. But Christians, you and I, must love strangers and the needy, not just friends. When we show hospitality to people who our society looks down upon, when we show hospitality to the ones who are vulnerable to injustice and exploitation, when we show hospitality to the powerless, to the poor, to the widow, to the strangers, to the fatherless, to the elderly, to the lost, to the desperate, to the mentally ill, to the seriously disabled, to international students. When we open our church, when we open our hearts, open our homes, to make room at our tables and in our spare rooms for the ones who offer no value to our social mix, no advantage, the ones who bring nothing to the table but need and awkwardness. Because God loves them all. Because God loves these people. He welcomes the least and the lost. In Luke 14, Jesus says, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. You are among the righteous if you do that. Hospitality sits at the heart of our faith, sits at the heart of authentic Christianity. Since the news broke out in Europe, all these Syrian refugees, tragic stories, one after the other, the church, the elders, the pastors have been praying about it. We ask ourselves, could we do something? And this verse came to me. Hospitality. These are the needy people. They're so far away. But could we do more than just praying for the situation? What happens when we practice hospitality? When we practice hospitality, here's what happens. We experience the refreshing joy of becoming conduits of God's hospitality. Rather than being self-decaying cul-de-sacs, the joy of receiving God's hospitality decays and dies if it doesn't flourish in our own hospitality to others. I visited Dead Sea in 1997. From far away you see, it's a tourist spot. Everyone goes to visit Israel, has to go to Dead Sea. When you see it from far away, you see, oh, it's really beautiful. But you know why it calls Dead Sea? It's dead. The mineral salt percentage close to 40% in the water. You can't drink the water. You can't let the water spill into your ears or eyes. If water from the Dead Sea spill into your eyes, you have to go to the emergency right away. But it's fun to be there. It's for tourists. Why is that? Why is that so many so much of these minerals and salt in the water because the water throws through Jordan River down all the way down. That's the lowest point of the earth. Some 400 meters below sea level or something like that. All the way into the sea, and there's no way out. All the water traps in that sea, in that lake. So water only comes in and doesn't go out. Sometimes some Christians living their lives just like that. Oh, it's amazing. Grace abound. Come into my lake, come into my heart, but never goes out. Be careful. One day you'll become like a dead sea instead of a living water. Grace flows through you, become a conduit of God's blessing and hospitality and generosity to the people around you, to the people who are in need, to the refugees, to the international students. May I appeal to you on this 21st anniversary Sunday. Let's build this church a place that pursues, not only practice, but pursues, look for opportunity to show hospitality. Let's make Westwood a church that welcomes needy strangers, sojourners, lonesome people. Let's practice hospitality because we have experienced firsthand of God's hospitality. As I close, I want to read to you from Max Lucado's writing about the power of hospitality in his book, Outlive Your Life. He writes, long before the church had pulpits and baptistries, she had kitchens and dining tables. Even a casual reading of the New Testament unveils the house as the primary tool of the church. The primary gathering place of the church was the home. Consider the genius of God's plan. The first generation of Christians was in a tinderbox of contrasting cultures and backgrounds. At least 15 different nationalities heard Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Jews stood next to Gentiles. Men worshipped with women. Slaves and masters alike sought after Christ. Can people of such varied backgrounds and cultures get along with each other? We wonder the same thing today. Can Hispanics live in peace with Anglos? Well, in our situation, can Chinese live in peace with Anglos? Can Democrats find common ground with Republicans? In our situation, of course, is can conservatives find common ground with the NDP? I don't know. Can a Christian family carry on a civil friendship with a Muslim couple down the street? The early church did. Without the aid of sanctuaries, without the help of church buildings, clergy, or seminaries. They did so through the clearest of message, the cross, and the simplest of tools, the home. Not everyone can serve in a foreign land, lead a relief effort, or volunteer at the downtown soup kitchen. But who can't be hospitable? Do you have a front door? A table? Chairs? Bread and meat for sandwiches? Max Lucado continues. He says, congratulations! You just qualified to serve in the most ancient of ministries. That is, hospitality. Something holy happens around a dinner table that would never happen in a sanctuary. In a church auditorium, you see the backs of the heads of people. But around the table, you see the expressions of faces. In the auditorium, one person speaks. That is me now. But around the table, everyone has a voice. Church services are on the clock. But around the table, there is time to talk. Hospitality opens the door to uncommon community. It's no accident that hospitality and hospital come from the same Latin word, for they both lead to the same result. Healing. When you open your door to someone, you are sending this message: you matter to me and to God. You may think you are saying, come over for a visit. But what your guest hears is, I'm worth the effort. Dear Westwood people, let's make this church like a home, welcoming strangers. Make this place where people can find healing, rest, and peace, and love. Let's pray. Dear Lord, make us a channel of your grace. Make us a church of hospitality where the wounded and the hurt can find gospel, can find salvation, where the lost and the lonely can find meaning of life and find genuine friendship. May your saving grace continue to transform our lives. Transform our lives to be more like you, to welcome strangers, sojourners, until we are at home with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.